C4. Number 3A.
So we have taken up that subject of categories which are building our system of reference. And I've seen that the whole development was driving towards seeing that we have to have a divine system of reference, and that any human system of reference does not work because it goes out from the human and the human can never understand the divine. Like can only understand like. Therefore, the divine can only be understood through the divine, which naturally has then within itself the answer to what we have been reading from the philosophical dictionary, namely that categories of being, if we have a divine system of reference, that then these categories of being are then actually represented in scientific understanding, that there is no more a divergency, a discrepancy between the divine categories and the human categories. And this is another point which those who have been attending the seminars in 1973, you remember perhaps, where when we have taken the whole chart, we have seen something quite enormous, namely that when we have taken the whole chart as the categories of being, capital B, and when we then arrived on the level of Christian Science as science, the candlestick, that we began to see that they give us the categories of understanding being, and that they were the same categories as the categories of being, capital B. Therefore showing that the very thing that the philosophical dictionaries deny, we can see as a fact, namely that the categories of being, capital B, are the same categories as the categories of understanding. Or in other words, turned around, that the categories of understanding must be geared, must be synchronized to the categories of being, capital B. And if within our understanding we have the categories of being, then they are at one with being itself, and therefore principle and idea is then one. Then it is absolutely natural that with that new consciousness we are aware of the divine being, capital B, so that there is a congruency between both. But before, when I read this definition, we read that the structure of the categories of being can only be guessed. Again we see, no, they can be understood. But the method must be different. The method of philosophy was to go out from human thinking and categorize everything according to human thinking, whereas the method of science is to go out from the divine principle, never leaving that divine principle, deducing from that divine principle, and if we deduce from the divine principle, not atomistic ideas, but categories. Can you hear that? Deduce from the divine principle categories, not ideas. That then we arrive at the divine system of reference. And so our consciousness will be cultured in the divine system of reference, and in the divine system of reference you are always at one with the divine being. Principle and idea being one. So we can ask perhaps to clarify that whole question of the system of reference. What is a system of reference? Generally, well, a system of reference means that we have a standard according to which we value everything, according to which we evaluate, measure everything, according to which we judge everything. It is like to have a measuring rod And according to that measuring rod, we can evaluate everything which we contemplate and consider. We refer, so to say, back to a established, unchangeable measuring rod, measurement, and that's the system of the divine system of reference. We refer back to something which we acknowledge as unchangeable and as valid. And as I say that, perhaps we can remind ourselves and say, didn't we have always somehow such a system of reference in our lives? Didn't we always measure everything according to something? If I see somebody acting according in a way, what did I do? I judge it according to what? To what I feel is right or wrong, is adapted or not adapted, is right, is wrong, is good, is bad. I feel I have within myself a valid system of reference. And now one begins to see that that valid system of reference doesn't hold good anymore. That the human system of reference is not valid, that it is not absolute, but relative. And I think one of the first ones that introduced that our system of reference is not absolute and therefore not valid was perhaps Einstein with his theory of relativity, that he began to see that we were judging everything according to a system of reference which we accepted as unchangeable and seeing that it is changeable. He could see that everything is relative according to the standpoint from which you look at it. For instance, he would never say driving with a car through Wilmington, he would not say I drove through Wilmington. He would say with the same right, Wilmington drove through me. It's only a matter of standpoint, and both statements are as valid as equally valid. To say I drove through Wilmington is just as valid as to say Wilmington drove through me or passed by me. It's only a question, what do we take as fixed? Is the earth fixed or am I fixed? If I am fixed, Wilmington drives through me. If the earth is fixed, then I drive through Wilmington. But I can take as a fixed point anything, because in the cosmos there is no fixed central point according to which you can refer. To which you refer to. And so he began to break up the sense that there is an unchangeable system of reference, and that system of reference is defined, so to say, through our human evaluation. Then that system of reference, the human system of reference, broke further down in the space age. Suddenly, when the astronauts were up there and you had them, say, only about 1,000 miles up in the air, suddenly that system of reference which they brought with them from the Earth was no more valid. There was no more an up and down. Up there, you can't say which is up and which is down. You can't say anymore which is right and left. You can't say anymore there. Actually, gravitation is no more valid, or you have anti-gravitation. Time is different. You know that an astronaut that is that flies with a greater speed, that his years are shorter, the time is shorter, he comes back younger than when he left. Time is finally flowing backward, and you have all the whole system of reference of time and space, of up and down, of right and left, all falls to pieces. It's no more valid. And one began to realize at that time that even the chemical processes are different, that the physical, biological processes are different, time measurement is different, everything became different, everything did no more fit into the old system of reference. Which was a great step forward in showing us, look here, that system of reference which you felt was reliable, is no more reliable. Every limited human material time-space system of reference is not valid. You must have as an absolute system of reference absolute values. These are the divine values, the values of ideas. Ideas have no up and down, no right and left. They have no time, no space. Here we come into a realm with a system of reference that is absolute and unchangeable. So that's what Mrs. Eddy began to see. She began to see that she would have to present a solution to this world. That's why it is Christian Science and not Divine Science, what she was writing in the textbook. If it should be a solution to this world, she should not go out from the system of the world, from the human system of reference. That she must first state the divine system of reference and show, here comes in structuralism, show how that translates itself, transforms itself to the human plane of living. So one cannot be too much in awe before what Mrs. Eddy has achieved as a scientist and not as a religionist. She was not just bringing a new religion, that is a sideline, a spin-off, really, of her discovery. She was a discoverer in the field of science, and perhaps in the field of philosophy. Religion was a spin-off, a practical spin-off of it, but what she established is, for the first time in human history, a divine system of reference. No one before has ever done that. Before them, the mystics were seeing that the divine is the only and the all. All right. But because they had, that was an empty shell. They had no system in it, no structure in it. And as far as I know, Mrs. Eddy was the very first one who would now state the system, the divine system of reference, and show, therefore, the divine structure of being, which is also, or must be also, the divine structure of our consciousness. And then consciousness and being are one. Then there is the possibility that the divine is human and the human is divine, and that there is a coincidence of the divine and human. What is this divine system of reference? Well, we have seen, as in our teaching over the last years, that John Dolly presented that new system, that divine system of reference, through the capitalized terms. When I say that, I don't say it clearly. Mr. Dolly only pointed out what Mrs. Eddy did, that she could see that there are categories of being which are fundamental, and in order to point out that they are the categories of being, capital B, she capitalized those terms, like the seven synonymous terms. They form one overall category with the subcategory of mind and spirit and soul and principle and life, truth and love. So she gave the category of the nature of God, the seven synonymous term, capitalized them to show this is one big category. Then she showed another set of capitalized terms, namely the four sides of the Holy City, Word, Christ, Christianity, Science, giving the operational sense of God or of being. And you see, the first one was the nature of being, defining what is the nature of being, just as if in a parallel way, in arithmetic would show, first I give you the digits, then arithmetic would give us the operational rules, how to use those digits, like addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. Mrs. Eddy would give the operational sense of those synonymous terms as Word, as Christ, as Christianity, as science. Then she would use that science in four different levels, still the one science, but seen in a dimensional way, and that was her great contribution, that she could see for that being must be considered dimensionally. Nobody ever before was thinking about that. You know, we were living up to 10 years ago, so to say, always in that reductional universe where everything was always reduced to a last analysis of parts, whereas today one sees they must be integrated into every level of experience, that the divine and the absolute and the relative are one realm, but seen from various altitudes of that realm, with various offices within that realm. And only in that way could one see that the divine has an impact on the human, that the human is not separated from the divine, that the divine therefore touches the human, that the human can be cultured into the divine. And so she gave those four levels of consciousness, of science really, namely science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. Most of her textbook is written only on the level of absolute Christian science and Christian science. I would say that she has not given a textbook on divine science or on science itself. That's why she called her discovery and the textbook the Christian Science Textbook and not the Divine Science Textbook, and not the Science Textbook. Naturally, in order to give a right concept of absolute Christian science and of Christian science, she had to show the source of Christian science and absolute Christian science, which is in the divine. Therefore, she had to show that source as divine science, and she had to show that divine science has its source in science per se. So, intertwined into her text are statements that belong to divine science, that belong to science itself, but the system that she presents in the textbook is foremost the system of Christian science, meaning absolute Christian science and Christian science. And it is within that realm that we want to consider the textbook from tomorrow onward. So we have these three great categories of capitalized terms. The seven, synonymous term, the nature of God. The four, side of the holy city, the operational sense of God. And the four levels, as the dimensional sense of God, meaning that God operates everywhere, on every level of experience, that it operates in heaven, that it operates on earth, and that it operates in hell, if I put it religiously, that there is no realm that is outside of God, that what is called hell, we see that in the last chapter, in the 16th chapter of the textbook very easily, that what we call hell for God is not hell but heaven. That only we call it that way, but that in being there is only one realm. But to understand it, in order to understand it, we have to see the dimensional sense. And I think that dimensional sense is that which is perhaps that sense which is new to most students, where most students have difficulty in seeing what the dimensional sense means, because one has not been thinking about that too much. But you can see that only through the dimensional sense we find answers, because the answer for the human must be in the divine. That which translates the divine to the human are the dimensions of being, the levels of being. Yes. In addition, we see the answer to what these people have said about categories, namely that it is not so, as what they say, that the categories of being and the categories of understanding differ. That's from the human standpoint, that's from the standpoint of philosophy, where the human standpoint, the standpoint of understanding, differs from the standpoint of the categories of being. In our subject, they do not differ. They are the same. Being as what it is has the same categories as that which should be our consciousness. That means that we must undergo a terrific change of consciousness, that we have to culture ourselves out of the old system of reference and culture us over years and years in the new system of reference, so that finally we only think always from the capitalized terms and from no other standpoint. Then, if we do that, we understand from the system, the divine system of being, and therefore in our consciousness is the divine system of being, so that they are congruent. And our experience, which is always the outcome of consciousness, is therefore also congruent with the divine being. See, we naturally must take in that fundamental teaching of Christian Science, that experience is only the outcome of consciousness, that we experience exactly that what we have in consciousness. We never experience anything else than what we have in consciousness. We are only aware of what goes on in consciousness. Therefore, we see that we do not have to change the world. We only have to change consciousness. That's a terrific help, a terrific relief. We don't have to sit back and moan about the world and the world situation. How bad the world is now, things are going down the drain and so on. We only have to sit back and ask ourselves, what is my consciousness? We don't have to ask, how is the world? Where does the world go wrong? The only thing we have to ask, what is my consciousness? Is my consciousness going out from the seven synonymous terms, from the four sides of the holy city, from the dimensional sense of the levels? If it goes out from there, you have your own world, and a terrific, beautiful world. That's the world in which we live. It's the world of consciousness. And this is the very first thing we have to learn in Christian Science, that all is mental and not material, and that mental, if it is geared to the divine, that our experience is the experience of the divine. So the world situation becomes very simple and very easy to handle. It's just a matter of sitting back and asking oneself, where am I? Not what is the world doing. And you feel that all those worries just disappear, because you feel it all depends on me. And this, I think, is the great point where we have to be honest about ourselves, where we have to see, if I have been following what I have been teaching for the last 2 hours rightly, then I see the whole answer for my whole life, the answer for the whole world, the answer for everything. I see it right now. I see there is only one answer: to go out from the capitalized terms. So actually, when one has found, when one has cultured a certain sense of those capitalized terms, it's always time to shut the books and be quiet within oneself. And only when one is quiet within oneself, one hears God speak. It's always a question of to find a heart still enough to hear God speak, and to stop questioning and questioning and questioning everything. How is this? How is that? How it will be? But to come right back to the isness of being and say, all I need is to go along those capitalized terms, to flow in the flow of those capitalized terms. And then it wells up within ourselves that we see we have the answer. We are the very being that is divine. But you can see that it takes courage. It takes quite a bit of courage. You may be in a world that doesn't look too nice, where the future is rather dark, where perhaps your bank account at the present moment isn't too good, where perhaps your health isn't too fine, where perhaps you have a lot of trouble with your surroundings, with your boss, with your children, with your husbands and wives, and I don't know what, where so many things seem to be problematic. And the whole gamut of error seems to be just around you. What do you do? The answer is so simple. To be quiet and go back to the divine system of reference. To have the courage to know that consciousness has power. And if we have a consciousness, a structured consciousness of the divine system of reference, that will blow to pieces all the constructions of mortal mind. The whole reckoning of mortal mind, the whole calculus of mortal mind will just be blown up. The only thing is to have the courage to trust that idea and not to argue with the problem, but only to be in awe before the bigness of the divine system of reference. So, take the time, be quiet, be still within yourself, and see that consciousness rules. All right.